ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground, powered by Mariner Wealth Advisors, helping you navigate your financial future.
Welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Here we are in the studio, Sully and Wardo, and we'll share our amazing guest here momentarily. But Wardo, did you have a nice weekend, my friend? I didn't talk to you. I was down in lovely Jupiter, Florida, sunning. I'm doing good. I'm, you know, I've got an old man, sick father down there, and you know, it's you got to be a good boy. You got to go wipe daddy's butt every now and then, right? Just as he did your own. That's what you got to do. You got to pay it forward.
I'm sure he was delighted to see old Sully.
Yeah. You know, it's always nice being in Florida. Now, how about our boy Gary Woodland over there in South Korea?
Yeah, just kind of a sleepy tied for third. You know, if there is such a thing, you know. He's playing in the middle of the night, so not as many people are watching. It's the middle of football season, and he shoots, I think, 2 under for the first 2 rounds and then goes scuba low, I think, 13 under the next
past
2 rounds.
Yeah. He went 7 on Saturday, 6 yesterday. That was unbelievable.
Pretty solid.
And you know what? I mean, I had nothing to do. So I was sitting in a hotel room. He kept me entertained. But I don't think they show him enough.
They don't. They still don't.
Why is it? How do you win the U.S. Open and they barely put you on?
He needs a little more swag. You know, we talked about how he doesn't have enough pep in that step. We got to teach him how to walk a little bit more like Koepka.
I don't know.
So what do you think about this Koepka saying that Rory's not even a rival? I don't know if you caught any of that.
Yeah, I caught that.
I know what your thoughts are on Koepka, but I'll let you tee off.
Yeah, well, he's messing with my Irishman. You know how I think of the Irishman. No, but I think he's playing this role of PGA villain, right? And I think he's playing it well. I think he's kind of an arrogant jerk, frankly. But if you're going to be that, He's doing it perfectly, right? He's playing the Joker role, right? So he wants guys like me to call him out because that's fun. He's adding a little energy and juice to the game. I don't know. I think it's kind of comical.
So, by the way, did you turn on Golf Channel about 11 o'clock last night? I don't know if you saw what was going on. They were doing the wasn't marketed much at all, but they had J-Day, Tiger.
Hey, J-Day.
Rory. And Hideki on for the a little skins game.
I know. No,
2,500 people allowed onto this course in Japan had two greens that a winter green, two greens on every single hole, kind of like number three at Loch Lloyd. Pretty amazing. Anyhow, the Tiger hit it like garbage early and then started playing better late. But I think I watched the first 4 or 5 holes and went to bed. It was mediocre TV, but it was cool because they were all mic'd up, so you could hear Tiger giving it to all of them.
And really?
Clearly, there wasn't much conversation with Hideki because there wasn't an interpreter right there. But
yeah. No, I wanted to watch it, but what a horrible time. Sunday night. It would start at 10 o'clock or something,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. Clearly, it made sense for over there, but
yeah,
I mean, pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It was. I think it's awesome that they're going over there, and it's a sales and marketing trip, right? How do we export all the cool things of the tour in the European tour, right? I mean, you get the best of both tours selling the game of golf over there, although you don't have to sell it much in South Korea because every LPGA golfer is from South Korea. So they're pretty damn good at it, right?
Yeah, that's a popular sport over there.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it is. All right. Well, I did miss you. Well, listen, so today we've got a wonderful show. Of course, last Thursday night, there was a big event in Denver, Colorado, where the Kansas City Chiefs, our Kansas City Chiefs, took down the Denver Broncos.
Which your co-host and the guest were both at the game.
You went to the game?
My first trip to Mile High.
Oh, my gosh. What airplane were you on to the game?
It was a nice one.
Oh, who'd you go with?
I went with Mr. Chad Boger.
Oh, okay. You know, he takes everybody but me. This is
It wasn't him that invited. It was our good pal, Mike Odell. I got the last minute call up. The old South Pole out of the bullpen. They called me up.
Oh, my gosh. So, well, you know, you deserved it. You saw a good game. The Chiefs looked great. 7 or 9 sacks. The defense was back. And, boy, I'll tell you, if we can play fairly good defense, maybe we can sustain this Patrick Mahomes injury, which is very depressing for all of us.
Depressing. You know, it was actually pretty cool. The Bronco fans were bummed to see him go down. I think Jan saw that as well, but they're bummed to see him go down. And the team, the fans, and you could hear a pin drop in that stadium.
Really? Yeah, well, it was cool to see the players on the field come up after and pat him. And how can't you? You know what? I mean, when you're the poster boy in the NFL, not only because you're the best at the QB position, but you're a really good guy. you know, the fans everywhere love him, and so he represents well. So I hope he comes back in 3 weeks.
Okay, so before we get to our formal introduction of Mr. Jan Stenerud,
You just gave it up. You're not supposed to. It's like Christmas morning. You're supposed to unwrap the present. You told me what the present was going to be.
I want to know your thoughts. I want to know both your thoughts on if Andy Reid was in the wrong on calling a QB sneak at 4th and 1. My initial thoughts are, it's the quarterback sneak. It's part of football. You've seen Brady. You've seen everybody do it. It was the right call. It just was a freak accident.
All right, before we get the response from our guests, I think we need to introduce Mr. Jan Stenerud. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Hall of Fame, one of the all-time greatest kickers. And so for two Chiefs fans, this is pretty cool to have, you know, you, who the only time I get to see Jan Stenerud is you in that Wall of Fame every home game on Sunday, right, when you're sitting out there in Arrowhead. So Mr. Jan Stenerud, thanks for joining us. Because you're a pretty good golfer too. We're going to get to that, but let's talk Chiefs right now.
Well, I'm enjoying listening to you two guys.
What'd you think? So you had that call 4th and 1. Are you running Pat Mahomes up the middle?
Well, I was at the game also. I actually flew out with the team, and I hadn't had a road trip in about 35 years,
really?
Or 34 years. So it was really special. But no, it's easier to say afterwards, obviously,
right,
that it was a bad call. But I think it was a good call. It worked, but that doesn't happen very often. That particular injury, you can maybe get dinged in the head, perhaps,
right.
but to have your kneecap on that kind of a play, that's highly unlikely to happen.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. What's your take on it, Wardle? You don't think you should have ran him up the middle?
No, I think that was the right call. I mean, it's a freak accident. I mean, you can get hurt walking in and run over by the band for crying out loud. So
yeah.
I just think it was a freak deal, and you can't blame Andy Reid for that call, and there's so many other plays that he could have gotten hurt on. So,
a
bad break.
Listen, if Andy Reid told him you can't run up the middle a yard, how can he ever tell him it's okay to break the pocket, go run right as fast as you can? The risk factor of him running out of the pocket is a little bit greater than him running up the middle for.
Correct.
So this all the Yahoos, you know, calling in on any sports radio program, including this one, you're wrong, okay? Let's put it that way. All right. So listen, again, it is an honor. Kevin and I are huge fans, and obviously you've lived more than the fan life. You were part of the Chiefs back in the heyday, back in the Super Bowl era, the Lenny Cool days. And so maybe take us back a little bit, because you're originally from Norway. How the heck does a ski jumper from Norway decide that he may become a Hall of Fame kicker in the NFL?
Well, at the time, it was a pretty interesting story, I suppose, because I remember in the NBC games, Kurt Gowdy was the host of most of the games, and he would tell the story, and he got it right most of the time. I had a ski scholarship. Ski jumping and cross-country skiing are the main sports in Norway. And when I was 19 years old, I finished in the top 10 in the Junior National Ski Jumping Championship. I think I was number 6. And in early May, I got a letter from the ski coach at Montana State and another Norwegian skier that had a ski scholarship there already, that I was offered a full-ride ski scholarship to Montana State University in Bozeman, Montana. I couldn't find Bozeman on the map that I had in Norway, but there were several guys from Norway that got offered those scholarships in those days. As a matter of fact, in the 60s, there were 10 or 11 of us that had ski scholarships even at Montana State or in University of Denver, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Western State. That's some place in Colorado also. Dartmouth even had a couple of guys. So, but I had heard so much of the United States of America growing up. And an uncle and aunt had immigrated to Buffalo, New York in the early 20s. They would come back every 10th year, talk about the skyscrapers in New York. They would talk about the big cars, all the great things that America had to offer. And I always thought of it as the greatest place on earth. So when I got that offer, it didn't take me long to decide that I wanted to go. I remember my father was all for it. It was a free scholarship. It was right after the war, or free education, rather. And I don't know if I could afford to go to the next step. Now, my mother was a little bit more reluctant because she thought I may
turn in one
find
of
somebody in the United States and stay here.
Right.
So my plan was to go for 4 years, and then I was going to be an engineer and then come back to Norway. But you know, something happened my senior year. I started kicking the football. So.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
So when did you decide that you were going to be good, or how long did it take where you're like, wow, I have something here?
Well, my part of my workout for the, of course, I played a lot of soccer as a kid in Norway. Yeah. We played soccer all over the world. And I was on team since I was 8 years old. And so my workout for the ski season was always running the stadium steps at Montana State University. Mm-hmm. And I ran them almost every day, my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year. And my junior year, the kicker on the team was down the stadium kicking field goals. And, of course, he kicked straight on, they called it, with a square toe.
Yeah.
And I had met him, and I went down there since I hadn't kicked any kind of a ball for 2 or 3 years. And maybe I had an urge to kick this ball. And I kicked a few of the toe like he did. And after a few attempts, I asked him, if you kick with the side of your foot, like you take a corner kick in soccer. And,
and
I hit it pretty well, I guess. I didn't really know what was really good. And I did that several times with him, sometimes on my own also. And the basketball coach there, his name was Roger Kraft. It actually was an old K-Stater. From what I've been told later, he was the score the first 2 points in Allen Fieldhouse when that was
built. Way.
When K-State played KU. I can't verify that, but I've heard.
Who cares? We'll go with it.
And so he had seen me, and he ran over to the football coach. His name was Jim Sweeney. Sweeney later won over 200 games at Fresno State. He was the head coach at Montana State. And Roger Kraft, the basketball coach, says, you know, coach, there's a skier out here kicking the football further than I've seen a football being kicked before. You ought to take a look at him. Well, he didn't think much of the scouting that the basketball coach had given to him. And I think before the last game my junior year, I was running the stadium steps again, and the team was working out in the stadium, and all of a sudden I heard a football coach's booming voice yelling to me to get my butt down on the field and see if I could kick the football in front of the team, which I did. And I never put the ball on the tee before, and they had me kick off from the 40-yard line. I had a slight breeze behind me, not a strong wind at all, not a, more than a one club wind, Kevin, at all. But anyway, so the first one took 7-8 yards. I didn't even know what steps to use for that. I never put a ball on the tee. I never tried a kickoff before. So I topped it a little bit, and it went like a squib kick, and they got pretty quiet. And then the coach said, well, try that again. And the next time I hit just real pure, and it went high and far, right through the goalpost and into the seats. And he got quiet. And of course, the altitude there is similar to Denver, too. So the ball goes a little bit further. And I did that 3 or 4 times in a row. And the football coach, Jim Sweeney, put his hand on my shoulder and said, young man,
see you tomorrow.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I bet.
And I wasn't eligible for that because I was going to be on two teams, the ski team and the football team from then on. But he wanted me to get used to the pregame warm-ups, which was in front of 8,000 people at Montana State. I had ski jumped in front of 80,000 in Norway, but it was still a total different surrounding. So anyway, I went out for spring practice and made the team, and that's how it started. And I didn't know, I have no idea how good I was, but I did kick a 59-yard field goal in the game against the arch rival, University of Montana. Now, that was the first score of the game. Excuse me. Now, half a century later, when I go up there, they tell me that I made a winning kick from 59 yards. But it was, that's not true. It was not late in the game. It was his first.
I'll let him go with it.
But it did turn out that that broke the pro record by 3 yards and the collegiate record by 5 yards.
With that kick?
That kick. So then the scouts heard about me, and I got a letter from, I remember, Bobby Bethard came up to and watched me kick, and so did Tom Pratt, longtime coach in Kansas City, and Tommy O'Boyle, and I got a telegram. Nowadays, you know, these answers are pretty long here.
Oh.
But now you know what the draft is these days.
Yeah.
I got a telegram addressed my name, care of Montana State University Athletic Department. Congratulations, you've been drafted in the 3rd round of the AFL Redshirt Draft. See you in Kansas City next year. Signed, Jack Stedman.
So wow,
freaking cool.
I had to explain to me what all that happened. We figured it out. So anyway, I decided to stay in school one more full quarter. We had full quarter system, and we had a good team, so I kicked a lot of extra points, and I ended up setting a new record for points scored by a kicker that year. And when the NFL had a special draft, there were about 30 of us that had been AFL redshirt drafted the year before. I was the first one to be picked by the Atlanta Falcons. So they were brand new in the league. So it was a choice to make between the NFL, a weak team, the Atlanta Falcons, and a very strong AFL team. And for me, I was told a lot about, you know, the AFL wasn't as great as the NFL, but meeting the people I mentioned before, Bobby Bethard and Tom Pratt and particularly I met Hank Stram and then Lamar Hunt. They flew me to the Orange Bowl to watch them play the Dolphins in 1966. And after having met Lamar and Hank in particular, I wanted to come to Kansas City.
Oh, I bet.
But they offered me a pretty nice contract. I mean, relatively speaking.
Not the $82 million we were talking about?
Not what you do today by a long shot.
Yeah.
But the offers were very similar, but I wanted to go to Kansas City all along.
When I came here,
it was a perfect time. The Chiefs had played in Super Bowl I. The town was so excited about football.
Really?
And my first exhibition game was the Chicago Bears, and you probably heard about that game. Hank wanted to beat the NFL in the worst way.
Oh,
and of course,
I bet.
Several games that season was against the NFL. And it was an all-out game. We had kept the starters in most of the game, a lot of them. And, of course, that first game, we scored 66 points against the Bears, and we beat them pretty convincingly, 66-24.
Yeah, and you confirmed you made the right decision, being an AFL boy.
I have
never,
ever regretted that
decision. Oh, I love it. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a commercial break. We come back. I've got a really pressing question, and that is, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to ask it right now. Norway's a pretty cold place, right?
Cold.
So why on earth would the family move from Norway to Buffalo, New York, to be in the exact same damn weather? Hold that answer. Right? Hold that answer. Gosh, what is with the cold weather, folks? But we are blessed and honored to be with Hall of Fame kicker Jan Stenerud. He's a great ambassador here in Kansas City. And not only that, after the break, we're going to talk about how a man over these generations have gotten so many damn hole-in-ones, if you've gotten, Jan. You've been very good at that. And you're still a single-digit handicap, even though you're pressing 45 years old. So come on back. You're on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
That the stampede's coming. Here we go, here we go. Must be Ford Truck Month. It's time to get the best deals on America's best-selling trucks for 42 years straight. But hurry, because this stampede won't be here for long. Stop till we're legend.
Do you have retirement dreams of perfecting your swing and spending time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of courses you'd like to play. Whatever your retirement goals, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We create wealth plans to help you reach those goals. Whether that involves golfing, traveling the world, or settling down in another state, it's your plan, personalized for your goals. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start navigating your financial future. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor
with its principal place of business in the state of Kansas.
Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked. Honest, clean food.
When you need a battery, remember who gives you the power. Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Established in 1977, we've become the largest full-line battery supplier in the Midwest. No matter your battery need, rely on the trusted staff of Wholesale Batteries with over 40 years of serving commercial, industrial, OEM, and retail customers. Call 913-342-0113 or visit us at 605 Kansas Avenue in Kansas City, Kansas to visit with our team of battery specialists. Wholesale Batteries, we give you the power.
Hi, this is Brian Sullivan, co-host of Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City. Hey, when I'm not bringing my fantastic double-digit handicap to the course, my company, Precise Selling, works with companies to create sales champions. Hey, the best golfers get to the top by having a swing process and a game plan from the time they step on the first tee to the time they finish their putt on 18. Now, at Precise Selling, we teach salespeople how to prepare for each sales call. We give them a process to steal customers from their biggest competitor, sell more to current customers, and negotiate like a pro. So come see me at PreciseSelling.com to learn how we can help turn your team into a team of top sales performers.
Did you know that not only is Dick Hawk's Gaslight Grill wonderful for dining and live entertainment and casual elegance, but it's also the perfect place for private parties and celebrations? Gaslight Grill is increasingly popular for business luncheons and private dinners, and also for wedding receptions, birthdays, retirement parties, anniversaries, reunions, or any celebration. Private functions at the Gaslight Grill can be arranged for breakfast and lunch as well as for dinner. Choose from our 7 private dining areas, 14,000 square feet of elegant space, over 1,000 bottles of wine. Private functions at Gaslight Grill feature an appealing ambiance and the excellent American cuisine with an international flair and flawless service for which Gaslight Grill is known. With the help of a Gaslight Grill event coordinator, planning your event is easy. Gaslight Grill, the place for truly special private events, is just south of 135th between Rowe and Knoll in Leawood. Call 913-897-3540.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. Sully and Wardo in studio with the Hall of Fame kicker, Kansas City Chief great Jan Stenerud. Wonderful man, heck of a golfer. And now I look at him, he's fit. I mean,
he's fit, he's handsome, he's got a great voice. I mean, last week we had Gogol on. Gogol's got an amazing announcing voice. You got you, and then there's me just fluttering in the wind.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
We got this handsome fella here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're at.
You guys are pretty kind, but I.
Yeah. Well, that's your payment. We shower you with love that to make it as payment for being here. So anyway, hey, before the break, we talked a little bit about, and during the break, we talked a little bit about sort of the old days, right? So you were winning Super Bowls. You had Lenny Dawson doing his thing. He was becoming famous. I want to talk a little bit about. Let's start with Lenny. You played a few years with Lenny, right?
9 years, I think.
Yeah, I played 9 years. So, by the way, Jan, you were asking where I'm from. So, I grew up in a town called Waterbury, Connecticut. And my first sales job out of college, they said, "You're moving to Kansas." I said, "I have no idea where it is." So, I moved out here, and I used to sit in a bar called Len Dawson's. He had a sports bar right off of Metcalf and
435
right there. And so, I would sit, and I'd eat dinner all by myself every night. And after about a week, Mr. Dawson comes up. And he taps me on the shoulder. He said, "Why are you in here all by yourself every night?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Dawson, I don't know anybody. I had for 1,500 miles. And he said, "I'm going to fix that." And he called the waitress over. Her name was Ann. And said, "Ann, don't you have a boyfriend who comes in here and watch football games on the weekend?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Sullivan, you have a date on Saturday and Sunday. You're coming in here and you're going to watch football with her boyfriend." And the guys I met that weekend ended up becoming the godfather of my firstborn son. All my buddies end up moving in. And so the first guy who took care of me was your teammate, Len Dawson. And so you had some pretty special ones on that team.
Well, he was a great man. And, of course, first time I met him, the Chiefs flew me from Montana State. I played in something called the Camellia Bowl in Sacramento against San Diego State. And I do remember that San Diego State team, their head coach was Don Coryell, and two of the assistants were Joe Gibbs and John Madden. They had a pretty good,
good
coaching staff. But Bobby Beathard was a scout for the Chiefs in those days, and they flew me to the Orange Bowl. And I went out, and I had been drafted as a future the year before, so I'd made up my mind I am not going to kick in pregame warm-up because they think I'm pretty good. I don't want to disappoint him or my value go down. But Hank, there was no contest. He talked me into going out there anyway. And I kicked, and Lenny was out there. I actually think he was smoking a Tipperella while he was watching. But that was nothing new in the locker room here at the old stadium. You could hardly see across the locker room at halftime. There were probably a dozen guys that smoked.
Really?
And also in the new stadium, Arrowhead in 1972, when they opened up there, it was actually an ashtray in each locker. So, but Lenny, what I remember about him the most, he was like me. He didn't look like a big, strong football player, but he was a tremendous athlete. He played basketball and baseball at Purdue. great football career, obviously, but it was mentally so, it was really tough. He could bounce back from anything.
Really?
When things were going against him, he was mentally as tough a person as I've ever met. He may not look like that, but he was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was, again, he was wonderful to us.
And he could throw a football.
Yeah. And they didn't throw as much back then, right?
Well, no, but he was the most accurate passer in the AFL. I remember one game he completed, I think it was 16 or 17 passes in a row. You know, so he was a great. No, we didn't. If you can run the ball, why do you throw the ball? And it was a running game. All the rules have changed over the years. It's a passing game today, obviously. But if you, in years ago, you only ran or run or threw the ball rather, you know, it was unexpected and you had to. If you can run and make first downs, I remember in that 69 season when Lenny got hurt for 6 weeks. I think he got hurt in the second game, just sat out 6 games. And Jackie Lee was the second string quarterback and he got hurt in the first quarter when he played. And our third string quarterback, Mike Livingston, who hadn't played, it was in the second year. We won 6 games in a row with a third string quarterback. Now, Mike did really well, obviously.
Yeah.
We didn't attempt more than 20 passes a game, I don't think. But we had a tremendous defense. We had good punters and kickers. Gerald Wilson was a great punter. We had
really?
A good special teams game. But nowadays, it'd be awfully hard to win without a great, great starting quarterback. A franchise quarterback these days.
We're going to find out these next 3 or 4 weeks, Jan. All right, tell us, what was it like to kick in lovely Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Felt like Norway, I bet.
Well, Green Bay was in my 14th year by then. And the Chiefs thought, I think Marv Levy thought I was too old. And I had a good competition. Nick Lowry was in. Of course, they had competition every goddamn year. I remember after my first year, I had my first attempt was 54 yards and I made it. And then I had the most field goals in the AFL. And I had to go to basic training in Fort Polk, Louisiana. I wasn't even a citizen yet. And I hadn't seen a newspaper in the off season. Right after the season, I went to Fort Polk. And in June, after about 5.5 months, I saw the newspaper for the first time in all that time. And on the front page was a picture of Bobby Kennedy. He's been shot at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. Then I get to the sports page. There's a picture of Hank Stram and Jim Schaaf, who was then the PR guy for us. They were in Europe trying out professional soccer players and rugby players who had strong, you know, kicked the balls a long ways. And I brought 3 with them back to Kansas City for my second year. One was Horst Muhlman, who kicked in the league for many years. A guy called Bobby Howfield, who kicked it equally well with the left foot and the right foot.
Wow.
And that impressed some of my teammates, but I thought to myself, they can only use one leg at a time, so I'm not any more worried about him than
the
other guys.
It's like having a pocket in your underwear.
Like playing
guy called John Haslam. So early on, and that's how it went on for many, every year, basically. You always knew that if you have 2 bad games in a row, you're basically on the unemployment line if you're a kicker.
Right.
But in my 14th year, I had really good competition from Nick Lowry. I still thought I was going to make the team, but I didn't. And it was the right decision in so many ways. Nick was 15 years younger, and he was good. And my career was almost over, but late in the season, after about 12, 13 games, Bart Starr called me from Green Bay. Huh. And he said, "Can you still kick?" And I says, "Yes, I can." I didn't know for sure. And I went up there and had my 4 best years, statistically, my best 4 years. I kicked over 90% one year. That's the first time that had been done. But now we start breaking in, you know, punters as holders. And you have special teams coaches now. So at least the backup center would snap a few times, probably 3 times a week to the punter, and he held for me. Whereas in the early days, you know, my first couple of years, E.J. Hollab was the center. He played center. He snapped. And Lenny was the holder.
Yeah.
And he had no warm-up nets on the sidelines, so there was no way really to practice. Yeah. And even in practice, we kicked very little with the center and the holder. But that's, everybody did that.
Yep.
So the average field goal percentage in my early years was about 50%.
Really?
And one reason, because of the lack of practice, obviously, and also the fields weren't quite as good. There were a lot more kicks blocked because we kicked from 7 yards deep.
Yep.
So later, when I got up to Green Bay and kicked, you know, over 80%, I think, every year, and 90% one year, is because you got more reps, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, the field still weren't as good as they are now, but it evolved quite a bit in the 2 decades that I was in the league.
Wow, unbelievable. Well, and I imagine there's some lessons about practice and repeatability in the kicking game that no doubt helped you in the golf game, right? I mean, do you see similarities between repeatability, technique in those two?
Well, some, but I also see a lot of things that do not relate at all. I am a lot more coordinated in my feet than I am in my hands. And when you play golf, you got to use your hands some. That's one thing. Number two, my attitude in kicking the football, of course, I kicked the ball since I was 3 or 4 years old. We had soccer goals in my backyard. We played soccer every day in the summer. Anyway, so when I was kicking the football, I could kind of feel it almost in my whole body. If someone said, kick it high, kick it low, do this and that, I could just tell my body to do that. And I think a good golfer would be about the same way. When you try to hit the ball higher, even kicking, you lean more back, you follow through higher. A good golfer, he can do that easily. And also the attitude. And because I knew I could kick a ball of some sort, I had tremendous amount of confidence. Even if I had a bad game, I always thought I could make the next one, regardless of how bad the day was. I always thought I could make the next one. In golf, the attitude I have in golf, I wouldn't last one day in training camp because I knew I had a low handicap, but I still wasn't good compared to the real good people.
Sure.
I could feel that I wasn't as good as the people you see that are really good. So as a result, I didn't really have much confidence in my golf game. Whereas in kicking, even on the bad day, at least I wouldn't change anything and I would give it my best shot the next time and absolutely thinking that I would make it.
Was kicking more feel then?
Well, in the early years, because it took me 12, 13 years, and I learned this from golf too, probably, though. You don't get penalized for kicking the ball 30 yards to the goalpost. But I kick an extra point, I just tapped it in those days. Mm-hmm. Kick 30 yards a little bit harder, 40 yards a little bit harder, 55 or more, you kick as hard as you can. And I thought, well, wait a second. Why don't you make every kick the same? You only have one swing.
Right.
If they go 30 yards through, that's fine. So my last few years that I really had great percentages, I would kick everything exactly the same. Except up in Green Bay, there were times you had to make some adjustment because the field conditions weren't very good.
Yeah.
But so I learned some from golf. And I also learned practice habits because I also realized to be good, you really have to, to hit a lot of golf balls, you got to kick a lot. But my kicking was done basically on my own. Put the balls in the grass, kick it, run it, kick it back, because we didn't have enough opportunities to kick with the center and the holder in my early years.
Yeah.
Well, see, Sully, are you getting the message? Practice and swing hard and get some nice lag.
Well, the other part I like is that they had cocktails and a cigarette in every room, right?
Well, so, we didn't
so
have
after,
cocktails
after
in
you
the
were making
room.
Goals, no. You were going over there throwing back at probably an old Schaefer beer and getting right back out and doing it. See, I belong in the 60s, I guess is what you're
saying. Either be a shot of something called Akevit, which isn't strong Norwegian Scandinavian drink. That was not on the sideline. No.
All right, listen, we're with Jan Stenerud, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what golf has meant to you, right? Because something you said at the break, even back in those days, golf was a way for you to meet and become friends with folks throughout the league, right? So, and I think we'll all agree that in business or in life, it's a glue for a lot of the things we do and a lot of those friendships. So we are with Jan Stenerud, great NFL kicker, Hall of Famer, Kansas City Chief, and we are honored to have him on the Golf Underground ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City 94.5 FM. Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance claim and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Wardo, I'm so sick of my handicap rising, and every year I feel like I'm losing yardage. Do you have a solution for me?
Of course I do. SwingFit is a goal-focused platform that is fitness-based, centered around getting your golf game better. SwingFit will help you become more biomechanically sound in the gym and on the golf course. From the golf perspective, what you're going to see is a series of movement patterns and drills in order to get you better and help you achieve your goals. You will be introduced to some exercise centered around increasing golf strength and club head speed.
The team at Swing Fit is TPI certified, which is the gold standard for those tour players you watch on Sundays. If you want to take the next steps to hitting the ball like them, call 913-269-1300 for more information or go to thegolfstable.com.
Football season is here. This is Darren Smith with Sports Radio 810 and ESPN Kansas City. And in Kansas City, the first thing that comes to my mind is tailgating. But if you're not tailgating with Gates Barbecues or their sauces, it's not my kind of tailgate. Stop by any of the six Gates Barbecue restaurant locations. My favorite is 1325 Cleaver Boulevard, and pick up a president's tray with mouthwatering beef, ham, turkey, and of course, you know you got to get them ribs, chicken, and sausage with one of their delicious side orders. Mmm! Better yet, customize your tray and get what you want. Top it all off with any of the Gates sauces, sweet and mild, original classic, or even hot and spicy. Their staff is always eager to serve. To order your sauces and seasoning online, visit their website at GatesBBQ.com. By Gates, it is a Kansas City tradition. Gates Barbecue. Hi, may I help you?
Hey, your boy Sully here from the Golf Underground ESPN Radio. I am in what they call the clubhouse experience downtown Kansas City with founder Jason Townsend. Jason, this place is off the charts. Give me a few reasons why anybody, whether you're out south, up north, or right downtown, would want to come to the clubhouse experience.
Well, first of all, the clubhouse is the epicenter of a social community. What we've done is provide an experience from the outdoor patio with live music to our Epicurean bi-coastal food menu to the cocktails to our wine list with 61 bottles from across the world, 50 bottles available by the glass, and then ultimately our entertainment suites where you can play top golf, baseball, football, soccer, hockey, or even hold a business meeting.
Well, and that's where you and I are right now. And in fact, I plan on bringing a group of 20 folks for a business meeting in this venue because it is fun, it is work, but you know what? It is an experience. Where can people find you downtown?
1101 Walnut, right in the middle of downtown Kansas City in the Central Business District.
Or the website?
www.theclubhouseexperience.com.
All right, come on down. Clubhouse Experience, Golf Underground.
Are you ready to focus more on your golf game this year instead of enduring the process of building a brand new home? Look no further than BCI Bowen Custom Homes. They will help you determine the best opportunity for you and your family given your current situation. Do I do a remodel? Do I build the dream house I've always wanted? Your next home might be waiting for you from the many specs and furnished models they have available in Southern Johnson County. Whether you're located in Shawnee or Leawood, Mike McCown and his award-winning team are interested in helping you determine what may be best for you and your family. Again, if you're looking to spend more time on the links and eliminate the stressors of the building remodel process, call BCI Bowen at 913-444-2369 or on the web at bcibowen.com.
Hey, it's Mitch Holtis. Don't miss the Chiefs Kingdom Monday Night Live at Hy-Vee Market Grill. The Hy-Vee Market Grill is the best place to enjoy the game with daily specials. And Hy-Vee has everything you need for your watch parties and tailgates. From meat for the grill to chips, dips, drinks, and even a full selection of Chiefs gear. Come check it all out with the Chiefs Kingdom Monday night at 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Monday night, the Chiefs Kingdom with Mitch Holtis will broadcast live from the Hy-Vee Market Grill off 95th and Antioch.
Hey, what's up, Golf Underground Nation? This is Brian Sullivan, co-host of the Golf Underground with the Greenside Cigar Company, here to tell you about the hot new cigars that are about taking over the golf industry. And yeah, I'm talking about the patented Birdie Stogies you guys have been seeing for sale all over the local golf courses. These cigars come highly rated and are the ultra-premium alternative to that dried-up old stick you've been using to celebrate your made birdie putts. Designed to be carried in every golf bag and saved as a reward for celebratory achievement, our cigars are bringing golfers added relaxation, fun, and perhaps maybe even a little luck. From mild to medium, smooth to sweet, we have a cigar suitable for every taste palate and golfers at all skill levels. So no matter your celebratory occasion, enjoying a victory stogie at the clubhouse after a low round, immediately after a made birdie putt, or hey, even to help you relax and simply celebrate being out in the golf course, make sure you never approach the first tee again without one of our beautiful cigars in your golf bag. So learn more and order online at greensidecigars.com or just Google the Birdie Stogie, because after all, there can only be one.
Not a bad selection there.
Pretty good selection there.
Not a bad selection.
Nathan.
All right, name the band. Wardo?
I'm blanking right now.
I would ask Nathan who the band is, but he had it right in front of him. There's no way he would have gotten the answer right.
Oh, this is...
You'd have gotten this one right, right?
Yeah, I know this song.
Yeah, this one's easy.
Who is it then?
You don't know who it is? Aha!
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite CDs back in college.
All right, so now that it's winter...
Yeah.
And we have a new little spot downtown. What do we have? We have a little gym. Where are we going to work on your game all winter?
Well, we've got a place called the Clubhouse Experience. In fact, this segment is brought to you by the Clubhouse Experience, a great sponsor of the Golf Underground. Hey, you're right. It is winter time is coming around the course. It's cold, it's dreary out, but you know what would perk your spirits? Rent a bay at the Golf Underground. They have these wonderful indoor golf simulators. And if you don't like golf, heck, you can play soccer on this thing, hockey. You can. They've got dodgeball. You name it.
Zombie dodgeball.
Zombie dodgeball. My kids, my daughter went down with about five friends. They had a nice little dinner, and they spent 2 hours in one of those bays at the Clubhouse Experience. So it's a great family place.
So if you're a mom and looking to do some shopping, drop off the kids.
Uh-huh. Great food, too. I understand. Great food. In fact, I will be there Friday doing a business meeting with 20 of my colleagues. So see?
I'm going to come crash it.
Come on, baby. Come on. All right. Hey, listen, welcome to Golf Underground. We are with Jan Stenerud, great Hall of Fame kicker, Kansas City Chiefs. And, you couldn't be in the NFL forever. I mean, you had to do something else, so you said, screw it, I'll become a good golfer. Right?
No, that wasn't really it. But I when I worked in my first 6 years with the Chiefs, in the off season in particular, but also a few days during the season, I worked for Country Club Bank on the plaza.
Oh, okay. The Thompson family down
that
there?
That was before Byron Thompson and family bought it.
Oh.
The three main owners was a guy called Lee Huddleston, Jay Reynolds, and Bill Miller. And Jay Reynolds was a member at Millburn Country Club. And he says, you got to play golf. And I didn't know anything about golf at all. But anyway, he talked me into doing that. And I have never regretted that. Although the first 10 years, I just played on Saturday and Sunday morning in the spring or early summer. Hacked around. Somebody told me, you got to take lessons. I didn't know that golf was that... was that difficult, frankly, just looking at it.
Right.
But it is. And now I recommend to anybody that start... Get a teaching pro, not your buddy. Go and get the right setup, the right grip before you even start.
Golfstable.com.
But I start, after about 10 years, I start practicing, got fairly good at it. But what happened also by that time, you get invited to golf tournaments around the country just because you were in the pro or Kansas City Chiefs or a pro team. And they had scramble tournaments where they raised money in different charities around. And I thought, what a neat thing. Here you get, they fly you in to be with some of your... some names that you heard about you don't really know and to play golf. So I thought that was a neat thing. And so golf has really opened the door for a lot of things for me later in life. Of course, then also I like to compete. And later also we had that celebrity tour you played on the
show. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the first 12 years in Lake Tahoe, I played in that.
Did you?
And it was a lot of fun and a lot of other tournaments around the country. So now, even now, I enjoy playing golf and I don't know what the heck I would do if I didn't play golf. I don't see myself at McDonald's having coffee in the morning.
Thank God.
I shouldn't say it that way.
So no, I know. I don't see him at coffee with George and all of his cronies doing the crossword puzzle. That'll make you old quick.
Maybe because they have a lot of great conversation.
Absolutely.
There sure, too, sure, but sure. But I'd rather be active than do that as long as they can. So, but golf met so many wonderful people, taking me to a great place all around the world, really, to play golf. And you meet good people, you play in beautiful places, mm-hmm. you get to compete, you talk about the game with a beer afterwards. It's a phenomenal sport. I just absolutely love everything that goes with it.
Yeah. Well, and it'll never compare, obviously, to winning a Super Bowl or... but it gives you those moments. I mean, I talked a little bit about your prowess of getting hole-in-ones, right? What are you up to now? How many hole-in-ones you got?
I had five.
Oh, you've got one more than me. That's not fair.
Well,
that's a bunch of BS.
Well, he's been around a little longer, Wardo.
I didn't have my fifth level 75, though, so you have some time left.
Five.
No, I had one a long, long time ago with a play with John Sinovic.
Yeah.
At Melbourne and his dad. John was 12 years old. We had played the Los Angeles Rams in the preseason game in 1976 or 7, I think. And I had a chance to run over to Melbourne and played 18 holes before I went back up to Liberty training camp. And I had a hole-in-one. And the pro would let two or three young kids playing on Saturday and Sunday morning with their dad, the two lowest handicapped kids in the club, I think. And John was 12 or 13. And I remember I had a hole in one on 15 at Melbourne playing with him. And of course, later, John became an amateur golf champ in the state of Kansas.
Hell of a player. Hell of a player.
And my last one was, that was 75, a year and a half ago or so.
Would you be weirded out if we had John on the phone right now to tell that story? I'm just kidding. We don't. No call-ins on the Golf Underground.
No, I saw him the other day, by the way. No, not the other day, but a few months ago. And he recalled that as well.
So real quick, before the break, I've got a proposal. You know, we came in, we had you in, we did a little body assessment. Then travel came up. But let's get that handicap down. Let's work on that game. You in for next year? Let's work on
yes,
the winner.
Yes, I am in. But yes, I am in.
You in?
Yes, I'm in. There are certain exercises I can't do. Because
no, but let's talk. Let's blend the exercise.
We can work around that.
We'll work around the exercise. And we'll do some X's and O's golf swing. That's what everyone wants to see me for.
Yeah,
anyway,
but listen, there is a
the reason I'm interested, Kevin. I've seen you hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like to do that very much.
Would you be willing to give Kevin a lesson in ski jumping? I think there's got to give back.
Were talking about early in the show about soccer moms sending their kids out to play soccer. You remember the agony and defeat in the Wild World of Sports?
Oh yeah, it was one of the greatest openings ever.
Yeah. So whatever when you talked about the moms sending the kids out to play soccer, I thought about that commercial, that opening on ABC Wild World of Sports, and I don't think too many mothers send the kids out to do some ski jumping after watching.
Yeah, I could see it right now. The guy crashing over the top.
So Kevin, I am not going to put him through that.
Would you do it for me? I'll put a helmet on. Maybe give me an old Chiefs helmet, throw me. You just give me a little scoot right down the hill.
Well,
and I'll
try
get
a ski jumper on there someplace. Because I remember when I signed with the Chiefs, Hank Stram was asked if ever let me ski, and Hank all of a sudden answered, and he said he can ski as much as he wants as long as he skis downtown Kansas City. So if you can find the ski jumping hill around here, we'll try.
That's wonderful. All right, we're going to take one more commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with a few questions. It's been an honor having you, and this thing goes quick. And so, Jan, let's end after this commercial break with Jan's life lessons. Make the listener a better liver of life, Jan. It's a lot of responsibility, but I think you're up to the call. Hey, you're on the Golf Underground. Warner and Sully, we're back together.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Riley here from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Independence on 39th Street, just west of 291, next to Walmart. Whether it's a job interview or a first date, Lady Jane's in Independence will make sure you look great for whatever is on your plate. Get a precision haircut, hot leather neck shave, and hot towel treatment for just $14. Lady Jeans and Independence on 39th Street, just west of 291, next to Walmart, where we believe success favors the well-groomed. Lady Jeans and Independence, it's wicked awesome!
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160 for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money.
Oh, heck, I'll buy the clubs, put them in my new golf cart, watch the U.S. Open on my big screen after I play a round of golf.
Better give Star Companies, Inc. a call today to start saving big. That's Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160 or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Limack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you, number one, best training. Number two, you specialize in getting people on that field. Number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sonoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Football season is in full swing, and nothing goes better with football than Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Whether it's the Friday night lights of a high school game, a Saturday outing to the old alma mater, or a tailgate or watch party on Sunday, make sure you order ahead and pick up Joe's Kansas City Barbecue to make your football festivities perfect. They've got everything you need. Award-winning, world-famous smoked meats, and delicious sides. Carryout and catering is available at all three Joe's locations. Visit joeskc.com to find the location nearest you.
Dismal River Club is a five-star private golf and hunting club located in the sand hills of western Nebraska. 36 holes of championship golf, including a Tom Doak design and a Jack Nicklaus design, a private runway, luxury cabins, and incredible meals prepared by their executive chef make Dismal River Club one of the nation's most unique and sought-after golf and outdoor experiences. There is truly something for everyone. Visit DismalRiver.com to get more information about the new spa activities, family activities, membership opportunities, and corporate retreat packages.
You wouldn't select a driver when you're putting on a green, just like you wouldn't choose a putter to get out of a sand trap. When choosing a club, you want to make sure you have the right tool for the job. And the same goes when selecting a wealth advisor. At Mariner Wealth Advisors, we believe in putting the client first. This isn't just our motto. It's our way of doing business and our fiduciary standard. Navigating your unique journey takes a partner who is as committed to reaching your financial destination as you are. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location and an advisor near you, and let us help you navigate your financial future.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor
with its principal place of business in the state of Kansas.
Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Sports Radio 810 brings you everything Chiefs.
The throw is Flacco. Again, being pressured, he's hit. The ball's out. The ball is picked up by Ragland. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Pre-game for your tailgate, post-game for the ride home, and all the latest Chiefs news throughout the week.
The Kansas City Chiefs dominate the Denver Broncos. They're going to go to 5-2.
For the best Chiefs coverage, you've come to the right place. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio, Sully Wardo, and Jan Stetterud, who's a wonderful wonderful man. And I understand he could kick the ball back in the day, too. So, hey, Wardo, this is our final segment here, and of course, you're famous here in the final segment making the guest mildly uncomfortable and revealing...
Look at him, he's nervous. Yeah, I got him nervous.
And forcing them to reveal things about themselves they otherwise would not on the public airwaves.
All right, here we go.
Are you ready for it?
Here we go. We got the Emergency 9 brought to you by Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Mr. Jan Stenerud, are you ready?
Go ahead.
Favorite Norwegian golfer?
Susanne Pettersen.
Ooh, I'm Victor Hovland. Best kicker other than yourself that you ever played against?
The best one I've seen, I believe, That's so many people
yeah,
I can
next,
mention.
Next question,
no,
I get it.
No.
All right.
Nowadays, he's got to pick one.
No. Nowadays, I'm talking about nowadays, not in the league today. It's Justin Tucker from the Browns.
Yeah. All right. Other than Lenny Cool, who would you want to quarterback your team? Back in the day.
Well, you pick anyone over the generations.
In those days, I think, how can you not pick Joe Namath? If you pick Joe Namath, I also would pick Daryl LaMonica.
Okay, switching gears. Favorite course at your home track, favorite hole at Melbourne Country Club?
Number 13.
Number 13, great hole, great green. All right, favorite golf course in the world?
Well, the ones I played, my favorite place to play is Pebble Beach, there's no question about that. But the greatest place I've been, I've watched a golf tournament, is at Augusta, the Masters.
I like it. Well, maybe you'll take me and Sully to Pebble and Augusta.
Yeah, you know what? This is what I'm going to get. We're going to be friends now, Jan. It's going to be a big responsibility. I'm going to call you every week, check in on
and
you.
And you're going to go out and kick field goals.
Then I'm going to try. No, go ski jump. No, I'm the ski jumper of the threesome. All right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to die going out like a meteor.
What happened? Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for coming on the show, Jan. We really appreciate it. And your time is clearly valuable. And it's time to get that handicap down from a 7.4.
I hope we can do it, Kevin. I'd be well. Listen, you guys have been great.
I'm willing to take on a challenge.
You guys have been great. Fun to watch you in action.
He says we need to prepare more, though, Sully.
I know.
Did not say that.
I said,
you sound prepared. You are prepared. I just don't see any notes in front of
you. No,
so
I know. Well, listen, would you two be willing to allow me to golf with you?
Yes.
Okay, so then
I checked with Kevin.
Okay. Jan, I thought we had a friendship going.
He says he can caddy.
All right, well, listen, Jan Stenerud, what a great time today. And you know what? We're going to be back next week. We've got a lineup over the winter months because we wanted fun for you while we're having fun. So enjoy your week. Come back next Monday on a Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.